Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Okay, so you really want to make a podcast?
Yeah, what if we just sang our music?
Maybe we should get some real music, Samantha.
The podcast came.
Oh, you're still recording. 3, 2.
Survival Jobs is a podcast spotlighting artists, their side hustles, and their passions.
Hosted by Samantha Titzelo and Jason A. Coombs.
Boom.
Sweet.
Okay.
Love it.
Oh my God, Jason, here we are.
Cigarettes has been like, what's that? What's that meme with like the lady from Titanic? It's like, it's been 120 years.
Yeah, that's how I feel. So, Jason, I mean, just jumping right in, so much has happened since the last episode has been released.
I know. So our last episode was the middle of July.
Wow.
And we're recording this on September 11th.
It's just so crazy that it's been 20 years.
Oh, I know.
Of the 9/11. How are you feeling?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's always a really sad day. You know, get reminded. I mean, everybody knows, like, where they were at that time, and right. You know, it's so many people were affected by it, and I always think, like, what would happen if like 9/11 didn't happen? What kind of world would we be living in?
I don't know. That is wild, right?
Well, it's interesting because we both used to work at the 9/11 memorial. That was one of both of our survival jobs.
That is so true.
Back
that
in the day, right?
Was both of our survival jobs. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, when this day comes, I don't think, oh my God, like, I worked at the 9/11 memorial.
Mm.
I forget, you know?
Were you working there on the anniversary ever? Or knew you left before, right?
Yeah, I only worked there for a beat. I only worked there for a moment. I started, I think, in December. I don't think I was there on the anniversary, no. Were you?
No, I was only there for like 3 months. It was a hard job. It was a hard job. I don't know. I was like grateful for the opportunity to work there. Like, I felt like it was like an honor to like be of service.
Yeah.
I guess to it. I don't know. Yeah. But it was really hard, and I did not like standing out in the middle of nowhere telling people where Burger King was.
Oh, I know. That was the other thing. People were like, "Where is the closest coffee shop?" And I'm like, "I don't even know what it is." Like, what do you mean? And I'm also 21 and I don't want to wear this jacket and get rained on. But yeah, it's wild. So here we are tying everything back in. Like, that was our survival job. And here we are on 9/11 doing our podcast called Survival Jobs. Life is so strange. And I will say, like, I'm feeling that a lot these days. Like, in this first month back in New York, just, like, things coming full circle and people popping back up into my life like, not popping back up into my life. And things are just flowing and going. And I'm like, wow, life is fucking crazy. It's strange. And I'm happy, but I'm tired. Wow, Jason. Okay, so the last time the episode came out, we were all hyped for the film festival.
Yeah, so we should tell everybody this is a bonus episode, right?
This is our bonus episode, people.
That was supposed to come out like a month ago.
Yep. I've been texting Jason. I'm editing it, and I have not touched it. Not one lick. No, we've been, like, really busy people, but we're back, and we can't wait to wrap up this season.
We wanted to drop this bonus episode.
That's right.
So, Samantha, for the Film Fest, you interviewed some cool people, which we'll get into after. But we wanted to just touch base with everyone and say, hey, we're still alive. We didn't abandon y'all. like Steve from Blue's Clues. Did you see that video?
Remember, I thought he got canceled. I thought he had cancellation from pornography.
You did. And I was like, no, that's hilarious. And he came back.
Anyway, but we didn't want to talk about the Film Fest, right? Yes. So I interviewed. Go ahead, Jason. Why don't you tell them? Because this is your baby.
Well, no, the Film Fest was awesome. Sum it up, yeah, we had a great time. We saw some amazing films. We had 300-something people there on a Friday night of opening night.
It was
Samantha
fun.
Was going live.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know if
she
saw.
Killed it. But we did a virtual. Love you too, boo. We had virtual and in person. And Samantha did a very cool virtual Q&A. She interviewed filmmakers who had their films made during the lockdown, and the category was called The Lockdown Diaries. So that's really freaking cool.
Yeah, and I mean, it was really awesome talking to all of them. I know we've spoken about this a lot on the podcast, but like the pandemic, like in the height of it, I couldn't even get out of bed, let alone get up and make a movie, write a fucking script, film it, act in it, all of it. Like, so, and films were wonderful. Like, amazing
they really were.
Quality, amazing scripts, all of it was great. So it was really great. How many times do I want to say great?
So should we get into it?
Yes. So anyway, the bonus episode is, Jason is unfortunately not in it, so you only have to hear my stupid voice.
I've been talking too much during this intro, so.
I don't even remember anything I said this intro. So I basically just talked to the filmmakers about their films and their inspiration and all that fun stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jason, are these listeners able to watch these films or no shot?
I think they're going to be available soon. I know some of us are still doing the Film Fest circuit, but I know, like, for example, Edwin's Tenet.
Yeah.
Edwin Escobar, who directed Tenet, that's on Amazon.
Oh, great.
I think Nick Ranieri's Still Wish You Well video with Berlin Charles, that's probably on YouTube, you can watch.
Oh, great. Yeah, so
we'll try to link as much as we can.
Yeah, and then we'll put some posts on our Instagram the week the episode comes out.
Yeah.
So you guys can, like, see their work. It was really cool for me because I spoke to them before I watched the films. So to talk to them about their journey and their process and their inspiration and then to watch the films afterwards is really awesome, so... You guys will get to do that too.
So in this interview, they're going to say their names again anyway, but I just want to shout them out. Edwin Escobar, who's a Bridgeport native.
Yeah.
Regina Creer, who's our lead actress in Edwin's movie Tenant.
Fucking scary.
Yeah, Santi. It's scary, right? Mm-hmm. Santi Mejia. He's a student director of a film called Every Day Feels Like Sunday, a documentary.
He's so cool,
John
you guys.
Gray. He's really cool, right?
He's so cool.
I wish I was that cool at 17.
Me too.
Like I was like a loser.
Me too, 100%.
John Gray, he directed a movie called Exit Package, and he also created the Ghost Whisperer television show with Jennifer Love Hewitt. He's awesome.
He's really awesome.
We said Nick Ranieri directed a music video called Still Wish You Well that features the artist Berlin Charles and his original song, Still Wish
Love
You Well. They're really cool as well. Barak Oguzsagunor. Sorry, Barak, if I ruined your name. I apologize.
Burak.
So Barak Oguzsagunor, director of A Strange Season. Barak, if I ruined your name, I'm so sorry. His film was fantastic as well. So, yes.
So enjoy,
I'm excited.
You guys. Yeah, and I hope you guys listen to the whole thing and are able to see the films. We miss
Facts.
You guys. We're coming back. Facts. We're coming back, and we're going to wrap up this season one of our podcast that we love with some dope, dope guests. So enjoy this bonus episode. We love you guys. We miss you guys.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the panel discussion of all of your excellent, excellent films. My name is Samantha Totsalo. I work with Jason very closely on our podcast, Shameless Plug, Survival Jobs, the podcast. If you guys haven't listened, tune in. And all of you should come on as guests, actually. So hit us up if you want to come on in. First of all, I just want to say I admire all of you for creating art and great art during the pandemic. I could barely find the strength to get out of bed every day. So the fact that you all created these films in lockdown, in the pandemic, is so admirable. So kudos to you and congratulations. If we could just do a quick intro so everyone knows who everyone is, that'd be awesome. John, why don't you kick it off?
Hi, my name is John Gray. I wrote and directed a film called Exit Package.
Incredible. Go ahead, Julia and Keaton.
Hi, I'm Julia Maggiola, and I co-wrote and co-produced and co-starred in The Art of Longing and Belonging with...
I'm Keaton Morristan, and I did all of those things too as part of The Art of Longing and Belonging.
Yes. All right, how about Nick in Berlin? Let us know what you guys are up to.
Yeah, my name is Nick Ranieri. I am the director, editor, cinematographer, all that stuff of the music video Still Wish You Well with the talented Berlin Charles, who's over here for me.
Dang.
And I am Berlin. I hope you guys can hear me well. I'm Berlin. Yes. I'm a singer. I sing the song that Nick wonderfully edited and co-directed with me and everything. And yeah.
Amazing. Welcome, Ray. So how about Ray and Edwin? Give us a little intro about you guys and your film.
Did you go first?
Sure. So Edwin Escobar, I wrote, then directed, and I guess produced Tenant with Rejana Creer over here.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rejana Creer, but you guys can call me Ray. I apologize if my Wi-Fi is lagging. It's one of those Mondays. Yeah, I play the lead role in Tenant as Leah.
Yay. All right. And Santiago. Save the best for last. Well, everyone's the best, but.
My name is Santiago, and I created the film Every Day Feels Like Sunday.
Incredible. All right, awesome. So thank you all again for being here. Sorry, Barack. Actually, save the best for last. All right, Barack, tell us who you are.
I'm Barack Ferguner. I've directed and wrote A Strange Season.
Incredible. Now, really, thank you all for being here. We're so excited to chat with everyone. So we're just going to jump right in to John with Exit Package, since he has to head out pretty soon. So, John, thank you so much for coming again. I just want to start by asking, what was the biggest challenge of this process? And was everything done entirely virtually with the cast?
Well, sure. First of all, I just want to say thanks for having me in the film. And I'm really happy to be in this great company of filmmakers and performers and artists. I feel lucky to be a part of your group.
Amazing.
My film, Exit Pack, our film, my wife and I, my wife's my co-producer and general secret weapon. And yeah, Exit Package was done completely through Zoom. We just recorded it. And I was set to do a short film in May of last year. We were prepping it in January. And then by February, it became clear that we were not gonna be able to do that film. You're not gonna happen.
Right.
And I was really frustrated and very grateful we were all healthy and surviving. But I just thought there's gotta be some way. I can't go all these months without making a film. And I was on, of course, our whole lives became about Zoom, like all of us, all we do is be on Zoom meetings. And I was on a Zoom call. It was a large call with a lot of faces. And it was a rather boring call, unlike this one. And my mind started to wander. And at one point, somebody got up and walked away. And I started thinking to myself, what would happen now if that person never came back? Would anybody notice it or wonder about it? And then I thought, what would happen if there was a gunshot and that person never came back? Like, what would they do? And so that was sort of the germ of this idea of doing this kind of comedy thriller about this corrupt investment company that's having a Zoom meeting and they're discussing firing somebody who they're afraid is too corrupt even for them. And then one by one, they start getting killed. And so I was able to get a really good cast together because the actors were bored out of their minds as well, just stuck at home. And you know, we had a lot of moving parts to it because at one point, an actor playing a detective had to go into another actor's house. So we had to figure out how to make that safe and how to shoot that separately. And so it you know, feels like it could have been just done as a play, but in fact, we had to do it in several different pieces. And it was great fun. It was great. It was very liberating, you know, because it was Zoom. We weren't worried about lighting. We weren't worried about makeup and hair. You know, it just looked like shit, like Zoom does. So yeah. It was fine. And it was great. There was no DP. It was just us. And we just had a blast doing it. And I was very grateful to have this cast. And, you know, I think we pulled it off.
Yeah, I think you definitely pulled it off. Speaking of the cast, and a note that I had watching it is the cast had such great chemistry just through Zoom. So had the actors ever met before? They never were able to gather together. So I guess that must be like a testament to your direction also. So can you talk a little bit about the cast and their really awesome chemistry through Zoom?
Well, it probably speaks more to just what wonderful people they are. And yeah. They did not know each other. Three of the actors were in LA. One was in New York, and I was in New York. I live in New York. And I think what helped is that we did a rehearsal day before the shoot where we could just get all the move. Because I wanted to not just have completely just talking head the whole time. I wanted to have people getting up and moving around and bringing their laptops with them and kind of being their own grip and, you know, camera operator. So we did a lot of, you know, just rehearsing to kind of get that stuff worked out. And also to just get them comfortable with each other. And it was difficult because timing is so important in a film like this. And on Zoom, it's difficult because there's a lag sometimes, you know, so something, a joke might not quite make it because, so we were concerned about that and trying to deal with that. And, you know.
Right. What was the biggest challenge for you as a director and writer of this? To do this all virtually? And second part to that question is, was there something you learned that you might want to like use going forward in other things you direct that you maybe wouldn't have learned if it weren't for the pandemic?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, aside from the idea that I'm just not in the room, you know, I mean, I wish I'd be in the room with you guys. It's just so difficult to have the separation.
Yeah.
But apart from that, the challenge was that not every actor had the best internet. And Kim Wayans, for instance, you know, and she's the first to admit it, you know, she had terrible, terrible internet. And so she kept freezing and it got really difficult. And so when we were finished recording it, I had one of the actors stay behind and we just did a bunch of lines that made fun of Kim's internet connection in character. And so we then just kind of dropped those lines in whenever something happened that we couldn't get around. Just to sort of make it part of the, you know, part of the thing. And I guess in terms of what I learned was just, you know, the idea of, you know, how important it is to stay creative no matter what, and to just keep finding ways to tell stories. You know, that's just the most important thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, I admire all of you for creating during lockdown. And I was going to say, finding the inspiration to create this, and also it's so funny. It's very dark also, but some of the lines really were so funny. Little things like, oh, my tacos. Like, that's just like the refry or whatever kind of beans, French toast. It's just so
It's all those kind of tropes that we're seeing now on Zoom.
Yeah.
There's always somebody eating during the Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
There's somebody like, you know, isn't wearing pants. Yeah,
yeah, in so the bed.
It's just kind of fun to satirize all that stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks.
All of that with us and for creating that piece. So you can hang out, or if you have to go, like head out.
Hang out as long as I can.
Yes. Awesome. So thank you so much, John. Great work again.
Thank you.
Now we're going to move over to Julia and Keaton. Hello. How's everyone feeling?
Good.
Great. So you guys worked on The Art of Longing and Belonging. Julia, can you tell us a little bit about the production company? Well, you guys both have created this production company. Can you guys start with telling us a little bit about your production company, when that was created and launched, and how then you transitioned into creating this film?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start, and Keaton will
feel free to jump in. We actually met as apprentices at the Barrow Group. We were doing their apprentice company program. And so there were a few of us like coming out of that in 2017 that wanted to start production company because we wanted to be in stuff. So we were like, why don't we just write stuff that we can be in and produce for ourselves? So it started with like, I think 5 people, and then a few people moved away, like literally to like Europe, the other coast. So the two of us kind of returned to it and wrote this short in 2019, 2018. Something like that. And then we ended up revising it over the past year, I would probably say. So I think we worked together on a few other projects that I had written myself or she had written herself. And this was our first like true collaboration of like writing together and producing together. So I don't know, did I miss anything?
Amazing. No, that's amazing. So I watched the film. I loved it and I was so intrigued by it. And it was captivating the whole entire time. So how was this shot? Was it shot on an iPhone or with a professional camera? The quality of it looked great. So that's my first part of the question. And how did you guys deal with filming during a pandemic? Keaton, do you want to start off?
Sure. Yeah, I can dive into that one. It was not shot on an iPhone. It was shot with professional equipment. Julia's good friend and director buddy, Stephen Emmerich, came along with Will Armstrong, who's a wonderful cinematographer. And the two of them really helped us out with some of the technical aspects because while Julia and I are both extremely creative people, some of the production elements are a little bit trickier for us. So we really lucked out with our small but mighty team. And we also had a lovely friend and brilliant producer, Carmen Nikkei, on board as well. And kind of the team of 5 going strong really is all it took to put this little film together. And that's, I think, a testament to everybody that we came together and saw eye to eye on this project. There was a part 2 to your question, I think, that I'm missing.
Yes, what was it like and what was the process like filming during the pandemic? And sidebar, I wasn't asking if it was filmed on an iPhone because it didn't look good. I just get so shocked these days when people show me something and they say the whole thing was filmed on an iPhone and it looks so professional. So I always like to figure that out because wow, the phones these days really shock you. Yeah. So Julia, do you want to take the second part of that question?
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting. I mean, I think we were both so eager to like having had the script and working on it for so long. And it was on our like slate of like, this is the next project we want to work on. And then all of this other stuff happened. And we were like, well,
this other stuff.
You know,
yeah.
And then like the other stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know, is there a way, like, what can we do? And we did have, it always took place, always part of it took place outside. So we were like, you know, I live in Connecticut. So we actually ended up shooting at my house. So we were able to be outside for a lot of the shooting. And part of what we had our producer come on for us is that she was kind of like our COVID person. You know, she was very like, okay guys, like masks on, this, that, like, is the air purifier running? Are the windows open? Mm. You know, everybody can only, you can only be outside, like only, you know, oh, you're only allowed to eat outside. Like just very much like we put her in charge of trying to make sure that like all of those things would be safe and that everybody would feel good. And, you know, everybody was, had their masks on I don't think actually we were like the only ones who got to take off our masks the whole time because everybody else, you know, we had just all made an agreement that like that's what we were going to do and we were going to be as safe as possible. So to like try to make this art, and it happened.
yeah. And it was a success. When did you guys film it during the pandemic? Like beginning? Like were we on the up and up? Was it like in a peak spreading time?
Well, as far as like, I think it was October, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah, so I think like I said, we were in Connecticut and Keene's in New York. All of our team was from that area. And so we were definitely in a time in October when things were not quite as crazy scary as they had been. And, you know, like I said, I just feel really lucky that we were able to shoot so much outside, which like also had its own
challenges.
Yeah, I can imagine with sounds.
Yeah, the suburbs and shooting outside is like always
lighting. I think on that day, somebody in your neighborhood decided to chop down some trees, right?
Oh no!
And you can't
be like, excuse me, can you maybe chop down your trees in 2 hours? We're doing something. Yeah. Oh, well, you guys pulled it off. That's great. Okay, so this was a really unique story in the sense of, you know, I wasn't expecting it to go the way it did. So is this something personal for you guys, or where did this idea come from?
It's a good question. I think it's kind of a mix of there's some personal in there, and then there's some make believe, right? And I think I think there's like a little bit of we could have very easily gone down like a thriller ghost story sort of way with it, and we decided against that, and decided to kind of keep it grounded in reality, and decided to keep it kind of grounded in something that we could all somehow relate to. And I think what's interesting also is that the story relates somehow to the experience of the pandemic as well, which is talking about the feeling of loss and talking about the feeling of depression and getting through the day with all of this tragedy in our lives, even though the circumstances of the story are different from the circumstances of the pandemic for most people experiencing it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely.
And I just want to say too, like in our rewrites, I think something that was like really interesting was that like having to rewrite in pandemic and like maybe reworking a few things, because we were like, how can we possibly do this? We like found our way back to like more of like the friendship story, and that like came through a lot more. And so I think that the friendship thing, like obviously we're friends, so like that was like, it was like really nice for us to like explore how to show that.
Yeah, and it definitely
was the hardest thing to act.
Yeah, you did a great job. You really, really convinced us that you guys were friends. That was another thing. Again, like you said to John, the chemistry with his actors, you guys had great chemistry, and it was super believable. And I felt like it was so genuine, which it was clearly, right? You guys are friends. So that's awesome. So I just want to end with two questions. First, what was the hardest part about filming during the pandemic, which Julia, you can take that one. And Keaton, what was something you learned that maybe you wouldn't have learned if it weren't for the pandemic?
I think the hardest part about filming during the pandemic was, I mean, twofold maybe. Like one, I think that there was such a desire to like want to make art, but like also, you know, the concern that at what cost. And like, I mean, personally, and I know that like Keaton and I have talked about it, like we didn't want to put anybody in any danger or like, you know, put anybody in a place where they're uncomfortable. And I think that that was like an interesting thing to even just think about how it extends into filmmaking and art making in general, to really look out for your crew and your cast and the people around, to like, just be sure that like everybody is feeling okay. And like, you're doing what you can to make sure that this art is made in a way that is safe and that everybody feels good about. So.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that what I would say I learned the most from this project, I think really feeds into what Julia is saying, is that I think it's this art form that we all, you know, love and want to do with our lives and do with our lives. It's, is really a collaborative art form, right? And it's about the people, and it's by the people, and it's for the people. And we're all in this together to create a story, to tell a story, to keep telling a story, and to do that in a time when you're right, Samantha, like waking up and getting out of bed is
tough
sometimes. Enough, that is all you need to do with your day, and sometimes that's enough, and to do that during a time like that, I think really cemented for me how important this is.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing all of that. I can't wait for everyone to be able to see your films. Great. And so I'm going to move on over to Burak. Hello. Tell us where you are.
I'm in Turkey. Muğla.
1:30 in the morning where he is. So we're going to try to talk to him while he's still wide awake. So Burak, your film was called A Strange Season. And can you tell us a little bit about the film and how you came about the inspiration to make it?
Well, the film is about a married couple. They've been married for 50 years, and somehow the husband gets overly paranoid, and eventually it affects the relationship. And it's about stray animals also, and how I got to make it is actually strange. Few months before the pandemic, I was around the area where we shot the film, and like in winter time, this place gets really silent. Hardly anyone is on the streets, and it gets really foggy. So I was thinking about, like, I kept thinking about this, makes a great setup for a sci-fi. I was trying to find a story to use this place. I mean, obviously the season was different when we shot it. But when the pandemic happened and all the lockdowns stuff went on, I was like, okay, this feels like a dystopia. I want to make it a little bit of a dark comedy as well, which was something that I wanted to do forever. I mean, you know, like play with the dark comedy genre, something that I really like. That's how the inspiration came, and also like the part with the stray animals, like because no one's around. I mean, you know, like people feed them, so you know that like they get the food scraps from cafes, restaurants, or houses, and then nobody comes out, so like they go hungry, even starve to death. So, That was another part, and Turkey has a lot of stray animals. So
yeah, did you film it in Turkey?
Yeah. I filmed it where I am at the moment. I mean, before the pandemic, I was like going back and forth between Australia, Berlin, some other European countries. Like I do cinematography besides my directing. So I pick up a lot of international gigs. So I was going around, and when the thing happened, I happened to be in Turkey. So since then I'm here.
Yeah. So how long did it take to create this film? The way I looked at it, it seemed like there were a lot of moving parts to it, even though it was just the two actors. But the camera work was great, and it seemed like it was a lot, very time consuming. So I was just curious how long it actually took.
From a page to finish completely, it was about 3 months, 3.5 months. But it was great. Like, because I mean, the actors are my parents.
Oh, wow. I was going to make one of my questions. Were they in your pod? But yes, they must. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like.
Wow, your parents are great actors.
Yeah, actually, it's my mother's first time in front of camera.
Oh, wow, and she's great.
Yeah, she's. I mean, I loved working with them, but I worked with my father once before. years ago. That was his first time. So this is his second time in this film.
Wow.
It's been authentic, yeah.
That's incredible. Congratulations to them. That's amazing. Wow. That just got shocked because that was going to be my question about the actors, how you did that, you know, during the pandemic and how you kept it safe. But you guys were all in the same quarantine pod, I assume. So.
Well, I mean, they're my neighbors.
Oh, perfect. So, look.
We're next door to each other at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, you know, like we are all under the same sort of still.
That's great.
Quarantine structure, and that was good for the film to like see this time around doing this in such a confined environment.
Yeah,
as like, I mean, you know, I used to love painting and drawing as a kid, so like I kind of never developed that skill to an art form. Because film took over and that was just a thing that I've done before. But like this time around, it was like, because I'm the entire crew until we went on to doing the sound post. So my parents are the actors. I could develop the film all the way to the final draft. It was a really moving, organic way of creating it. Normally, you know, like you have time constraints.
Right.
You know, an actor has to be somewhere and that's going to be the end of that day and that's it, blah, blah. This was like a 3 months full-on and hands-on working creation. So that was fun.
That's incredible. So two more questions. Number one is, what made you choose to do the whole film in black and white? What was the inspiration there? And same question I'm sort of ending with everyone is, what was your biggest challenge because of the pandemic? And what did you learn or appreciate more that you maybe wouldn't have if it weren't for the pandemic?
Well,
there's so many questions at you.
I mean, the second one is like kind of what I was saying, it's I think like more so than learning, it gave me the chance to explore a genre that I always wanted to explore, and it also allowed me to it was like writing a song, or it was like doing a painting in some regard, or like sculpture or something like that. So it was nice that pre-production, production and post-production all could have been a structured but not so structured and flexible piece. And that those two things I always wanted to try, so it gave me that opportunity. And I'm very happy with that and feel very lucky. It felt like I organically take it out of me.
Yeah.
And
you
the black
tell.
And white.
It's great.
That's great. And the black and white is because, well, I want it to be not necessarily a pandemic. I mean, I wanted to try doing this. I mean, of course, it's done in the during the pandemic period, but the story can happen anytime. And so like, I wanted to have some sort of timeless feeling to it. Plus I want it to be not look so real.
Mm.
You know, like, I mean, we were all going through what we have been going through, and there's so many personal experiences here, and
right.
I wanted to focus on the little things that actually skip from what we kept hearing and what we kept watching and reading and all that. So
yeah,
and I wanted to make that sort of little somewhere in between reality and a dream.
Yeah, Well, I loved it. And thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. That was great. I can't wait for you guys to all see each other's films. You haven't yet, right? Nobody's seen anybody's films. Yeah. I can't wait for you guys to. I think it's just like so interesting to see everybody's film and work is so different and so beautiful in their own way. So thank you so much, Barak. I'm not just going to talk to everyone now. So Barak, please hang out if you can, but if you must go to sleep because it is almost 2 a.m., you're welcome to go. So now that we don't have any time restrictions with the rest of you guys, I would just like to open the floor and I want to ask this question to everybody and I'll sort of go around. So what was the most challenging part? This is my big question for everyone. What was your most challenging part about creating a film during the pandemic? Ray, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I just want to mention again, thanks so much for having us. This was really, really awesome. Thanks for using the platform and, you know, opening this space. I think the hardest thing, everyone's excited in the background. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I think probably the hardest part was just getting out of the house. I think I kind of got really, really comfortable with doing nothing. So I got like, it was just really, really, I think almost like difficult to just imagine myself stepping out and wearing like, oh, do I have to wear a mask still? How am I going to act? How, you know, what was going to be that new line of like, you know, stepping out. So I think that was the most difficult part for me, just probably for everyone else as well.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that in a major way. Santiago, do you want to let us know?
Yeah, kind of like what Ray said, just stepping out of the house, because like I filmed my short in like when it was like lockdown, quarantine, everyone had to stay in the house. And I don't know, that affected like my motivation to do anything. Like,
yeah.
All the time. So, like, I mainly just stayed in my bed and then kind of like just telling myself like, okay, like I have the time to do it. I should be making like, you know, some productive and creative stuff right now. And like, kind of like forcing myself to like get up out of bed and like actually like using my time productively, you know?
Yeah, totally. Edwin, what about you?
Well, as the writer and the director, I think it was me asking people to come and do their thing during a pandemic. And those, you know, leaving a space for it to completely fail and people call out and not be upset, or not so much upset, but like, you know, you kind of were expecting things to go 100% wrong or worse. Even though I kind of designed it around my property with two actors and then we switched roles on sound and our special effects makeup, specialist was only spent about 45 minutes on set, but I was pretty much asking people, hey, you want to do something while everybody else is like really worried about what the world ending?
Yeah.
You guys want to do some art in the meantime?
Yeah.
But I did set the tone for, you know, being safe, but I also wanted to, without being irresponsible, set the tone to use it as an opportunity to be minimalist and go back to, you know, if we didn't have, let's say, any budget at all, and it was just actually two, three of us, you know, coming up with a story that somehow related to that. It has really nothing to do with being quarantined. It's somewhat of a thriller, but it did kind of, because it's Leah spent a lot of time with herself in this film. You know, her role is pretty much a lonely person, which is kind of like who we were becoming for that time.
I was scared. A couple of times during that film, I was like, what the freak is happening?
That's a good thing. That is a good thing.
I was like, Berlin, how about you? What were some of your struggles with creating this during the pandemic?
I think for me, especially as a singer, I think releasing music right now is just like, confusing, I guess. I don't really know, especially being an independent artist. I think I'm very like particular about what goes on, and I'm in control of everything that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically working with Nick, it was definitely easier because it was just us two, so social distancing and things like that were very like bearable and very doable, and we were smart. But yeah, it was in creating, it sort of felt like, oh, is right now the time? But you know, it's what we love to do, so we're gonna do it regardless.
Yeah, awesome. So Nick, do you have anything you'd like to share that was a challenge for you because of the pandemic?
I think that scheduling, in addition to what everyone else has said, scheduling was hard. Berlin and I are both working in our respective careers, and we shot this when stuff had started to open back up a little. So it was kind of us trying to figure out when we actually could come and shoot. And then once everything was shot, it still took me a few months before I could sit down and edit, because I had a few different things that I was working on. Luckily we live like 10 minutes away from each other.
So that's great.
We could pick random days and be like, do you want to shoot something today? And then get together and just spend a day shooting whatever we can. But I think it was definitely a challenge scheduling and figuring out getting it out on time.
Right. So just to since I have you both here, boy, I have everyone here. You mentioned it was just the two of you. It was, you had no crew, nobody else to help. What was that like? Berlin, you want to start?
Yes. Everything's frozen, but I can hear you guys. So
yes.
I
hope you can hear me. You are not frozen. You are good. We can hear you.
Great. Yeah, just us two. The coolest part about that was that, like, when it was finished, we were both very proud of it, because there were less opinions and less. It was very clear. Like, I've been friends with him like since I was 11, so I think that helps with him knowing what I want to see and what I don't want to see
right.
in the music video. But yeah,
That's amazing that you guys have known each other for so long. So Nick, is that beneficial for you as a director? Because there's a trust there and a knowledge of each other. Do you think that makes it more challenging or more difficult because you know each other so well?
I think that it was in some ways challenging. In some ways, it was really easy. It was nice being able to, you know, there's a lot of trust involved. There's the video itself is very effects heavy, which was something I'd always planned on. And so Berlin really had a lot of trust in me when we would shoot against like a blank wall. And I'd be like, no, but it's going to be cool, because after I'm going to add like all this stuff in the background, like that there was kind of that trust between us, and that I could also kind of be able to tell just by, again, we've known each other since like seventh grade, knowing I know what he likes and what he doesn't like in a way. So it was honestly, of the projects I've worked on, it was one of the easier ones, because we were able to be so honest with each other, and we knew each other pretty well. As far as shooting it just me, it was hard at points. I remember like the scenes that take place in the car, I had to, so that I could properly direct, I had to lie in the back seat of his car, like lie down with like my mask on and everything. Lie, but you can like see, I think, like the outline of my coat, and I had to lie back there and give him and Everton direction. But I think overall it was nice, also it just being the two of us, because it was really like a like indie film hour. Like we shot whatever we wanted to and didn't have to worry about any constraints or worry about, you know, needing to meet needing to stop at a certain time on a certain day.
Right. This is maybe a really, really stupid, dumb question, but is that TV in the beginning an actual TV you have, or is it footage that you have?
That is in my room.
That TV is dope.
Thank you. It's a record. My mom got it for me. This is so interesting, I'm sure. My mom got it.
No, it is. I was like, I'm half like embarrassed to ask this question, but I must.
My mom got it for me, and it's, I love old, like seven, as you can tell by the video, I love like old 70s and stuff. And it's, there's a record player on top, and then you feed footage into the side, and it basically like takes you through a story. I have like an 101 Dalmatians one. So I had to then just Photoshop and kind of effects everything from the start of the video in there.
Yeah.
But I was kind of struggling to find a way to start the video. I was like, this would be cool.
I mean, from jump, I was like, oh my God, that's dope. It was awesome. And got me like captivated right away just because of, you know, something so simple that as a TV. So great, great eye on that. I loved that. Oh, wait. No, Edwin, can you have 2 more minutes so I can chat with you quick, or you have to go right now? Dang it. I didn't. I didn't know you had to go, or else I would have focused on you earlier on.
No, no problem. I actually just have my daughter today.
Okay, cool. So I'll just ask you a couple of quick questions and then you can head on out. I'll put all the attention on Tenet and Santiago. No, every day feels like Sunday. I've not forgotten about you. I have so many questions for you, so just hang tight. So Edwin, first of all, congratulations, because as far as I understand, you are the only, and sorry if I'm wrong, people, but I think you're the only filmmaker from Bridgeport at the Bridgeport Film Festival.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah. I thought it was a few. But yeah, I am from Bridgeport.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Like, what a way to kick off this festival. So congratulations that. So I read your bio and you seem to have directed like a ton of short films. Is there something that sticks out to you about directing a short versus full length or any other length films?
Besides the commitment to like a feature film and, you know, not just the budget, but, you know, now that you committed to a certain budget and certain amount of days and some results, I think short films serve to kind of give people, an audience, a taste of what you got without jumping 100% in and trying to fund a full feature film that, you know, may or may not, you know, return on investors if you want to look at it from that. But short films give you an opportunity to really, like, explore concepts that you don't have to worry about whether they're commercially acceptable, or, you know, if you have a certain studio you're looking forward to working with, or if you want to work on TV, they really let you explore the true filmmaker's desire to tell stories, whether it's from personal or from things you grew up seeing, or, you know, subjects that you just actually started getting interested in and you want to write about them and paint them a certain way. So I prefer short films in that manner because it lets you be creative. And even without the pandemic in sight, you get to do a lot with a little. And it really tests your skill set.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I was so intrigued by this film from start to finish, and like I told you, I was truly scared. So Ray, are you still here with us too? How, and apologies if you had said this earlier, but how did you, do you know Ray ahead of time? How did that casting process go? Because Ray, you were so good in this film.
Oh, please stop.
Yes. I was like I said, I was captivated the whole time and genuinely scared when you popped up, and not to like give spoilers to everybody, but when you're in the attic and then you also then pop in the attic with a, not to give spoilers, but you know what I'm talking about. I screamed and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Good.
Yeah. So how was that casting process like? Did you guys know each other? Just even from your performance, it seemed like there was like a nice trust going on there. So if you both could tell me a little bit about that, Edwin, if you want to kick it off.
So first and foremost, I love director Escobar. Is not only great at what he does, but when it comes to making people feel comfortable, especially in this field, he literally nails it. We've known each other from previous work, but we've never come together, separately and worked on our own accord. So he reached out. He's like, hey, I have the perfect role for you. And of course, I was a little hesitant because, but he kind of just walked me through it. And I think we gave you what you can definitely expect. So good greatness is what I'll call it.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, you cut out before when you were maybe saying this, but this was your first time doing a thriller?
Yes, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. My first time, but not my last.
Yes, girl. Don't let it be your last, because I'm telling you, it was great. I'm excited to rewatch all of these films again, because, you know, I watched them and I took my notes and learned. Now I'm excited to go back after talking to everybody and watch it again, like now knowing what I know. So I'm super. How many times can I say excited in one sentence? That was probably like six, huh? Yeah. So, Edwin, so this was filmed, and apologies if you said this before, with a crew of how many?
Officially four. So me, Regina, and Baltazar, you know, the other actor.
Yes.
We had a makeup effects artist. Shout out to Bridget. She's not on here. Shout out to Bridget. She's amazing what she does. But because of the pandemic, and she was very hesitant, but, you know, we have a good relationship. She was like, I was like, you know, I like to stick around you shoot. Don't take offense if I leave. I'm like, nah, by all means, just do what you do. So she did, you know, we did that first to get those shots with the special effects. Cause I'm a fan of practical effects. Mm-hmm. And her work is amazing. But throughout, you know, that was about 45 minutes. The rest of the day, it was pretty much the three of us exchanging between, you know, doing sound, you know, holding boom, between the three of us, Baltazar, Regina, and me, just to keep me from having, you know, too many people in a house. This is a property that I have, that I live on the first floor, and I do have tenants. I didn't want them to think I was having a party in my hallways.
Tenants.
After putting up, you know, be safe signs. I do hate going up to the attic because we had a bad furnace. And every time I went up there, I was like, I'm going to put this in a movie one day.
Oh, my God.
It's fixed. It's been fixed since then. But
yeah. All right. Well, I know you have to run. So congratulations. It's a great film. I can't wait for everybody to see it. And I hope. Are you going to be at the festival?
Hopefully. Absolutely.
Great. So I'll meet you. I'll definitely meet you.
I definitely will. Today was only, you know, a little personal thing. Like I just said, my daughter was born today. So I wasn't expecting to be, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen.
Your daughter was born today?
Yeah. I have no sleep. I mean, you can tell. Thank you.
Oh my God. Thank you for, oh my God. So thanks for still coming to the panel when your daughter was literally born. That's amazing. That's commitment.
I told Regina that you may have to hold it down for me, but everything's good. Everybody's fine. She sleeps, so you know, I'm just outside the hospital now.
Oh my God.
But I'm glad it didn't happen the day of the festival, or I think there's a set of pre-interviews the Thursday. So I don't want to miss any of that, being because I am from Bridgeport.
Yeah.
I did win a couple awards, you know,
in
other states and other places, but it's really nice to have a Bridgeport Film Festival.
Totally.
At least for me, you know, because I like I said, I've went to different ones. I've approached different ones, but but yeah, so again, I don't want to, you know, make you feel like, you know, it's a big deal. I definitely made the time because
no, it is a big deal.
She's asleep. She's
huge
asleep
deal.
At the moment. But this is why I do it. You know what I mean? I got a bigger reason now. But yeah, we'll meet you, and I look forward to seeing each one of you guys' films. All right.
Congratulations again on the film and the birth of your daughter.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello. Thank you.
All right. Bye, Edwin.
All right. Take care, guys.
Santiago, yes, of course. Santiago, I've given the least attention to so far. Let's talk to you. So your film, Everyday Films Like Sunday, Feels Like Sunday. Can you tell us a little bit about how this was born? I knew you said it was born. You told us a little bit, but more of the backstory about your inspiration, the idea. Also, my big question is, was this filmed on an iPhone or did you have a professional camera? It looked great. And I'm always just super curious about that.
Okay. So mainly like what kind of guided me to like make this and motivated me was just a lack of a creative outlet. Because as I mentioned before, I like stayed in my room like all day, and only thing that really got me out of the house was just like me skating around and sometimes skating with my friend. Because like during quarantine, during lockdown, like that's relatively safe because you're not like skating next to anyone. And also like everywhere felt like a ghost town. So like just skating around like with your friend next to you, like, around like places that used to be like bustling with people. Like it just felt like really surreal. It felt like really, really cinematic, and just like, I don't know, just the whole like making that film and like mainly the guiding point of like making that film was just me wanting to like create a time capsule and like kind of really get into like film and use that as an excuse to, like really like find a passion, because like I've always been into film, and then I felt like this like project that I got assigned to, like, I don't know, that kind of like brought a lot out. So that's how the whole film got created, and it was filmed on my friend's GoPro.
This is like a millennial thing to ask, because you're in high school, right? How old are you?
I'm 17.
Amazing. Also, congratulations, like filming this and making this great film at 17. I don't even think I could like tie my shoe at 17. What is a GoPro? Anyone?
A GoPro.
Is that embarrassing? No. Should I know that?
It's not. It's just a camera that's like made for like outdoors, and like basically it's created to like be able to handle the outdoors getting beat up and stuff, and just yeah. So it also records like really good quality.
Amazing. For
a small camera, like it's like this big. So
oh wow, that's great. Good to know. Look, you learn something new every day, guys. What was it like directing it? Getting this idea, directing this, being in it, pretty much you're doing everything. Did you edit it also? So yeah. I guess the question is like, what is it like and what was the experience like doing all of it?
It was on, like, I was so stressed, like doing like everything, but like, it was probably like one of the most freeing experiences I could think of, because like, in quarantine, I just didn't like have like any like direction. Like I wasn't like motivated to do anything. I couldn't really do anything, period.
Yeah.
And like, just like this opportunity and being able to take it, and then like saying, like putting like my 100% into like something, into like this project. I don't know. It taught me a lot about myself. It taught me a lot about like filming, editing, directing, writing and stuff. And I don't know, just it wasn't like as like stressful as I would think it was, but it just felt like really natural, you know, like it creative energies kind of just like flowed out, like after like talking to my friends about this or something, or just like sitting down on the laptop to edit, you know.
Right. Well, congratulations. It's great. I can't wait for everyone to see it. And I hope you continue with filmmaking.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Good work. I'm just going to jump back over to Berlin. A question I had for you was, I know we're taking total turns here, but we're almost going to wrap up, guys. Don't worry. Where did the inspiration for this song come from, Berlin, in more detail?
This song was based off of my first relationship, and it was about actually ending the relationship amicably, like, and very like, just like it's basically about wishing the person well even after maybe the relationship could have been crazy, but like you guys both knew it was time for it to end. That's kind of what inspired the song, just a breakup song that isn't negative, I guess.
Good for you. Give me some tips on how to have not a negative feeling after a breakup.
I don't know.
Just kidding.
Write a song.
Yeah, definitely. Or maybe you can write it for me. No, great. I just was curious about that. I loved the song, and the video was great. Like I said, starting off with that old TV, I was like in it right away, and the colors and the visual of that. So like kudos to both of you guys for making a kick-ass video. But before we end, I just want to open the floor and see if anybody else has the final four standing. Thank you guys for sticking with us the whole time from the Lockdown Diaries. Again, I just want to say I'm so inspired by all of you for creating shit during the pandemic at a time when it was hard to even get up. Like that's repetitive. We've said that a ton, but it's so true. And the films are so quality and so great. So congratulations to everyone. And if you guys want to share any last thoughts about your experience or about what it was like filming during COVID, or any advice or inspiration you want to give to anybody who's out there, you know, wanting to make a film of their own but scared, or write a song but they're scared, I would love to hear what you guys want to share. Burak, do you have anything to share? Any last words?
Well, I just want to say that thanks for having the film, and thanks for organizing this. This was a really lovely conversation. And I'm looking forward to watching everybody's film.
Yay.
And just want to say good night. I wish I could have been there. Like, I really wanted to actually come. Oh. But
it's a far journey for you to Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Especially during these times. But
yeah.
Totally. Maybe next time.
Yeah, hopefully we're out of this soon. Or never mind. I was going to say, or we're locked out again, and then you guys could make more films. So we can make more films not being in lockdown. So I don't want to project that to the universe. You know?
I think we can make films either way. So
yeah, 100%. Yay. Anybody else want any closing remarks before we head out? Nick?
I think that the biggest thing I learned from this experience and kind of having this film accepted into this festival really kind of solidified this for me, is that it's never that you don't need like a big, and if you have a big crew, that's great, but that you don't need a big crew and you don't need all these things to kind of make film that you want to make. And, you know, this is further evidenced by the fact that we have someone who's 17 who made a kick-ass film, so I've heard, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, totally.
You're never too young, and you never don't have enough, and you're never kind of, there's never something missing. We made this film with a budget of like $100 that we spent on fake roses, and that's it. And then we shot it in my house and his house.
Amazing. I just got chills from that, to be honest. I did.
Yeah, but that even if it's going to be hard, that you can forge your own path, and that,
right,
you know, people are always going to want to see that, and people are always going to want to be supportive of that. And the fact that Berlin and I are just two friends who really wanted to make something together, and that's, you know, that this has come out of it, and that's where all of us start, is just wanting to say something and wanting to tell a story. I think that, I don't know, I just hope that people can realize, like, you don't need all this stuff to do it. You can do it with a GoPro or with an iPhone or whatever.
Right. Just a vision. Could do anything with $100. There's a moral. Anybody else want to share anything, Santiago?
I think the biggest thing I learned too is just like, you know, it doesn't matter what equipment you use or like software you use to edit. Just like, if you really have that vision, you could accomplish anything with, I guess, $100
or just $100. Or just a vision. Yep. I love that. Berlin, my dude, let's end with you.
Yeah. I guess Dollar Tree is your friend.
Hey.
And props and stuff. Go there. Pull up to Dollar Tree.
And we love that.
Get her done.
All right. Well, I just want to thank everyone again. I hope to meet some of you this weekend. Are y'all going to be there?
Absolutely.
Let's meet in person, IRL, right? Santi, as the kids say. Thank you guys again for sharing this time with us and sharing your stories and your experiences and your films. I can't wait for these to get out there and for people to see them and the music video. I keep calling it a film because it is a film. There's a story. So thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day. And I will see y'all this weekend for a lot of fun and films.
I loved that. I think you did such a fantastic job, Samantha.
Thank you. I was pissed at myself
because during the actual film fest, I had someone who was going to do that Q&A with the people live, and that person like canceled the last minute, and I ended up doing it, and I was like, why the fuck did I just ask Samantha?
Yeah,
I was like, like, you know, I had like so many things on my mind. I wasn't thinking clearly. No, I was like so pissed. I had to do it.
No, you did a great job.
You did a great job. You were fantastic.
Thank you.
Everyone feels so comfortable around you. And like, everyone loves you from the film fest.
I loved the film fest. You know what I found? And by the way, people, I found at the film festival, like, my passion for doing interviews like that. Like, well,
yeah.
That was so stupid that I just said that, because what the fuck have we been doing since April? Literal interviews. I'm like,
yeah.
Yes, for the first time ever, I did interviews at the film festival.
No, but it was different.
Yeah, it's different.
No, it's different.
Yeah, I think to you, listener fan humans, we're going to try to get our asses on some, like, various film festival red carpets.
Yes. As long as the Delta variant shit doesn't ruin everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, that's our plan. We're going to fucking come live and we're going to do this. We can do this more.
We'll have our own talk show one day called SGP.
Yes.
All right.
So, yeah, we'll see y'all soon.
Yes.
We got some more interviews to record this week, and we're coming back with a bang. We're extending the season. I think we were going to originally do 21, but we're going to do a couple extra because we've been gone so long. And we miss y'all.
We miss you all in the pod.
So, Rabbit Jobs, give us a like, a follow, subscribe. Yeah, and where can they find us to like and subscribe?
Samantha? Oh, funny you should ask. They can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs. Pod, and on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast. And as always, if you guys have anything you want to say, you can email us at survivaljobspod@gmail.com.
So yes, follow us, Sammy Toots on Instagram as well, and Jason A. Coombs on Instagram. And yeah, buy us a coffee.
Well, thank you to the people who already have gotten us a coffee.
No, Ryan, yeah. April, we love y'all.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
All right,
I love you, Jason.
I love you too, boo. Take care.
You take care.
All official, take care.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.